Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com. The Lou Henner Show is on GCN.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, straight up top of the hour. So glad to have you along with us today. I don't know about you, but man, we got the cucumbers and the tomatoes and the zucchini. It's awesome. I think I'm going to fix salsa for everybody over at the Power Mall. And I do have to say I can fix some very good salsa. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I like it all law natural. And I've taken over doing what Josh does, adding a little lemon oil to it, which is so cool. And now I'm going to add lime oil from Young Living. So make it really, really tasty and good for you. All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got Annette in West Virginia. Annette, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind today, Annette?
Joyce, something is bothering me about the fact that a lot of American women are accepting the big lie that ugly is beautiful. Have you noticed the straight, unkempt hairstyles that are coming into vogue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've noticed that. I don't know that it's ugly, though. I don't know that I would call it ugly.
Well, I'm saying that there's a government policy of right is wrong, truth is a lie, ugly is beautiful, okay?
Well,
I'm just saying that they're reversing everything. Now, I'm an old-timer, and I go back far enough to remember when the hairstyles were absolutely beautiful in women. And I like a little curl and the different ways that women have tended to their hair. And yet this new style is, in other words, what's really bothering me is that women, intelligent women, are doing this.
Well, you know, you made your point, and that's an excellent point, I guess. There's other things that bother me. The cleavage babes on Fox News, that bothers me when you got more than 3.5 inches of cleavage on TV. That bothers me a lot. I'll tell you what bothers me about guys' hair are these guys who put their hair up in the center in a point. I mean, I have never understood that. That looks like the Little Rascals. Remember the guy in Little Rascals? That's crazy. Why do you put your hair into a point? And I was talking to my lady at the beauty shop that cuts my hair, and she says, yeah, everybody's wanting that. They make it short on the sides and make it go to a point in the center. What are you thinking, looking like a dunce? What is that all about? And then to anybody out there that does that, I don't want to offend you, but it does look a little stupid. Thank you, Annette in West Virginia, but I do think that there are other things that are more concerning regarding dress and other issues than straight hair. I happen to like a lot of the people and the way they straighten their hair. I don't. I have to pay to get mine curly, and that's every 3 months. Let's go to Michael in, I don't know where you are, Michael, but welcome to the Power Hour today.
Yes, good morning, Joyce.
Morning.
Okay, Joyce, very good. Thank you. Here is a snapshot, 30 seconds of the whole problem, what's going on in the Europe and our country. Here it is right here, right from the horse's mouth.
Are you in Europe right now?
The current wave of anti-Semitism in Sweden will pass, and the Jews have an
Okay. That's not good sound. That's not good audio. We can't play that. What are you playing, or what is that all about? I don't play it. It's horrible audio. We can't even hear it. What is it? Renee in North Carolina. Renee, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just want to echo what you just said, you know, about this divide and conquer, because I even hear it, you know, from so-called libertarians and constitutionalists and stuff like this. You know, all this name-calling and calling one side stupid and stuff.
Oh, I know. I know. We're out of time. We're out of time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Renee. We're out of time. We've got to go to our guest, Rachel McIntosh, in this next segment. Thank you very much for the phone call. Yep, name calling. Got to go. Divides.
What are you listening to? Have you tried the Power Hour 24/7 listen line? It's easy. Just punch in 605-562-6121. No apps, no data, no internet needed, and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call now, 605-562-6121. Now you can listen to the Power Hour when you want. Bookmark the Power Hour 24/7 listen line number today, 605-562-6121. Got it? Call 605-562-6121.
RFlags.com just found out that 49-year-old Anthony Hervey, a black man in Mississippi, he was chased down in his car and killed, apparently for his support of the Confederate flag. This will not stand. RFlags.com now offering 10% of every sale to go to the Hervey family to help them in their time of need. You want to help this family? Go to RFlags.com. We'll donate 10% of every sale. RFlags.com. That's RFlags.com.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world, doing the next right and honorable thing. And Rachel McIntosh is our guest today. I'm really, really looking forward to hearing from her. Her book, I love this title. Now, the book is called Little Yellow Stickies. Little Yellow Stickies. But the title, though, or I like the subtitle, Security Through Absurdity. I've been talking about that today because that is a awesome title for what we know about the U.S. government, the elite government that rules over we the people, supposedly built for we the people, but unfortunately not like that. She is a defense insider, defense contractor insider. She knows some of the bodies where they're buried, I think, and we're going to talk to her about issues as she addresses in her book, Little Yellow Stickies, which is written in a novel format. I'm going to give you some of her background, which is that she graduated from Massachusetts College of Art and Design. She had a BA in painting. Then in 1995, she had a tragic situation. Her father died in a plane crash, and she was afflicted with multiple sclerosis. Kind of changed her life at that point, and she ended up working for a short stint as a marketing director of Real Artways in Hartford, Connecticut. And then 9/11 came along. And that kind of changed her life, and we'll find out about that. Then she became surprisingly pregnant with twins, so she is a homeschooling mother now. She also was involved in the Ron Paul campaign. She eventually got elected as an alternate delegate for the state of Rhode Island and attended the RNC. And it was through her experience in the Republican National Convention that prompted her to start writing Security Through Absurdity. And there are three books, by the way, or the third one, I believe, is coming out. First one, Little Yellow Stickies. Number two, Bubbles Will Pop. And three, The Big Show. All of them, Security Through Absurdity. And you can get them on her website, RachelMcIntosh.com. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, Joyce. This is awesome. I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate any time we can get information from insiders, because that's where it is. That's where it is, and we know that you've been there, done that, and designed a few T-shirts, and we'd like to hear from your experience. But first of all, give us some background on who Rachel McIntosh is.
Well, I would say I am an artist. I went to art school, and as you taught, you gave me my whole overview there. I went to art school, and that's pretty much what I was primed to do, but then when I got out of art school, and like you said, I'm afflicted with MS, I found out I had the MS, and I had to get health insurance, because at that time, you just kind of just winged it, and how was I going to deal with the MRIs and all that? So I instantly got married to the first guy that would, you know, ask me to marry him, and I moved to Connecticut. And that's when I ended up going to the temp agency. And when I got to the temp agency, I could type, and I knew about the internet. So they sent me over to this defense contractor. And because I was the youngest person there, because everybody's getting ready for retirement at this place, it was a small division. And it was right before they got acquired by a really big defense contractor. The defense contractor is L3. That I'm talking about in this book, but everything's fictionalized in the book. So when we start talking about things, I won't bring up that name again. But anyhow,
Which name won't you bring up again?
You're gonna make me say it again. L3 Communications.
Okay, we can't talk about that, right?
Yeah. Well, specifically, that's why I wrote the book as fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
We could talk about everything in the book. Everything in the book. So just know that when you're reading this book, audience out there, you're actually reading a very thinly veiled, this is me, what I'm trying to say. This is me in this book.
Yes.
On the cover, there's like this little woman walking on this line, and she's a cartoon character. That's me.
Okay, and
her
Jocelyn.
Her name is Jocelyn McLaren. My name is Rachel McIntosh.
Uh-huh. And so anyway, Jocelyn is the name of the hypothetical person in the book. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So anyhow, she gets, like I did, she gets hired by this defense contractor. She's the youngest person there. She knows how to use email when nobody she worked with knew how to use email. And because of that, she gets hired, and she eventually gets promoted to be in charge of 5 divisions, marketing communications.
Wow.
And here's this person with an art degree that's never dealt with corporate land and never dealt with military land, and you've just got this perspective of all these things going on. The other thing that she realizes and I realized is that everybody was very compartmentalized, meaning they did one little function, and they didn't have a very holistic view of what was going on in their world. They didn't, just because they had one little part in whatever they were working on, let's say a full body scanner, they didn't realize that it wasn't, they didn't realize what the bigger picture was. And that, I'm noticing, is very much a part of American lifestyle.
Yeah, the compartmentalization. Compartmentalization is really done to protect information from getting to other people that shouldn't have it, or for them to combine with the information that they have. So they compartmentalize it, and then all of a sudden they present it, and voila, the agenda is there.
Exactly. And the thing is, I think because my perspective was so outside of the box, I would see this stuff, and I'd be like, what the heck's going on? Long story short, I went through this whole process. We can talk about very specific things, I sort of want to talk about the full body scanners because that was the first thing that I noticed.
Yes.
That I got a phone call from somebody out at a division out in California, and they were wanting to know where they could house these scanners they had. And Israel was supposed to buy them, and they didn't know what to do with them. Israel had told them to F off, to just get out because they're wasting time. And when the guy called me, I said, well, why wouldn't Israel want a full body scanner? Sounds like something they would love. He said, because if I sewed a gun to my jacket pocket and stood in the full body scanner with my arms outstretched, the gun showed up as black and the background was black.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of not cool. Well, then the next thing you know, we have an underwear bomber situation where everybody's got to see everybody's body and everything and outroll these scanners that have been sitting in, you know, some sort of,
mm-hmm.
I don't know where they hid them because they had called my office knowing if they could put them in our warehouse. But they rolled them out.
But they were all prepped and ready to go.
Ready to rock, you know.
And all they needed was an underwear bomber who so conveniently came along. And by the way, there's a lot more to that story. And of course, we've done that that story on the Power Hour many times about
how I ended up Skyping Kurt Haskell because I was so interested in hearing his story from him. When I heard this whole thing, I said, well, you were, so I ended up Skyping him and I had this book club and I broadcast the Skype to this whole book club that I had of 120 people. And we tried to, he said some people had contacted him to stop talking. And on that Skype conversation that I had with him, I said, well, who told you to stop talking? And the Skype conversation cut out. You know, Skype does that sometimes. It cut out. So mm-hmm. later on in the conversation, I asked him again. And once again, it cut out. So I emailed him afterwards, and I said, oh, thank you so much for doing the Skype conversation with me. What was the company or who was it that wanted you to stop talking? He said, oh, I said it a couple times. It was the Asian Development Bank.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but I just know that it means something because...
Well, yeah.
That was one of the very first times I had ever used Skype to contact him and try to have that conversation in front of all these people.
Uh-huh.
And everybody in the audience was laughing. They're like, well, Skype's obviously compromised. Well, I don't know. But it's really interesting.
I don't think there's anybody that doesn't challenge that or believe that at this point. Yeah, we've had Kurt Haskell. Yeah, we've had Kurt Haskell on the program many times. So we know the underwear bomber was a created situation, an agenda story that worked perfectly into all of a sudden we just happen to have all these body scanners that are ready to go and let's roll them out because we're going to need them. And of course, the director of Homeland Security, Chertoff, was highly involved with probably making a big bucks off of that whole thing. And so then we have the body scanners. Now, what do we know about the efficacy of the body scanners and the safety of body scanners? Were you involved in any of that information?
No, I wasn't. But all I know is that people talked all the time about, oh, I'd rather just walk through a microwave oven.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So when I go to the airport, I don't do scanners. I let the people pat me down and I just smile and kind of feel bad for these people because this is their job. To sit there and pat people down and, you know, I just go along with it. But I really wish they had, I honestly wish they just had dogs at the airport. The dogs would take care of everything.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't be able to pat people down.
Then you need dogs, because all these different things that they come up with, dogs would be much easier.
That would make way too much sense, though, and that would be too cost-effective.
You wouldn't need the upkeep and maintenance contracts. That's where the money is, the maintenance contracts.
Well, and I understand that you can't fix those machines or that there is a point at which you can't fix them and you just need another one, which is kind of convenient if you want to sell a lot of broken...
Which is pretty much anything in the United States, really.
Right, planned obsolescence.
Planned obsolescence, yes.
Yes. Okay, so the body scanners we know were an agenda item. And it all does is gum up everybody trying to get on the plane in a timely fashion and make everybody mad, and it's created a lot of problems, but, oh, well, that's the way they're doing it. You know, take your shoes off, your computer out of your bag, blah, blah, blah. And none of that stuff really works because they have found now that you know, all kinds of guns go through, and they just aren't not able to work correctly. So
yeah.
It really doesn't serve a purpose, but it does from the standpoint of agenda of getting people to adhere to every order that the elite gives. All right, we're going to be back after this four-minute break with our guest today, Rachel McIntosh. Little Yellow Stickies, Security Through Absurdity. We'll be back. 4 minute break. Stay tuned. Joyce Riley here and the Power Hour.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey System. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Did you know some countries are now banning GMO foods? It's true. That's why for quality storable foods, you need ready-made resources. For over 19 years, we've become the name you can trust for thousands of products, like Numana Healthy Food Storage. All Numana storable foods are non-GMO, non-soy, and gluten-free available. Call 800-627-3809 or click readymaderesources.com. Ready-made resources. We don't just sell the products, we live it.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you are able to absorb amino acids and the less you are able to repair the 100 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easier to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Power Hour. We're talking to Rachel McIntosh today, the author of a three-book set, a trilogy, if you will, at this point, Little Yellow Stickies. Book one is the one that I have with me, Security Through Absurdity. And I love seeing, well, the front cover has this lady, Jocelyn, or whomever, hypothetical person, on a tightrope wire, and for obvious reasons. For obvious reasons. Rachel McIntosh was an insider Defense Department contractor, and she comes today to help us know where some of the bodies are buried. That's what we like on this program, is because we want to get beneath the surface of what goes on. Now, the Defense Department, and especially the run-up to the Gulf War that you deal with here, I mean, there's some nasty stuff that went on during that time. What can you tell us about what you are aware of? That, you know, being an art major, you probably were saying, what are they thinking about not only the detectors, the, you know, body scanner detectors, but other things that were going on during that time, Rachel?
Well, this, in my book, chapter 12 and 13 deal a lot with the meeting that I had. It was one... Chapter 13 is about 9/11, except what happened exactly in the conference room at the place I was at. That was interesting because we had had the blueprints for Building 7 at our facility.
Whoa.
We were in the process of buying another company, or we were checking them out. We might have bought them. Anyhow, this is in the fictional book, right?
We're right, but the fictional hypothetical story,
we
yes.
We were going to be purchasing this company, and they were big on rendering buildings in three-dimensional, you know, space in the computer, so that first responders, when they went into a building, they would know where gas lines were or electrical things, and so if they're going to smash down a wall, they weren't going to blow the place up. So we had the blueprints for this building, and I remember asking, what is that? And somebody said, that's, you know, the building's wired. And I was like, for what? And they said, well, the CIA's in there, started listing off all this stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, whatever. Makes sense, because, you know, when a jet fighter goes down in another country, the whole point is to blow it up so that the enemies don't get the, you know, the technology or the information. So, but when 9/11 really happened, everybody was in the conference room watching this whole thing, and a few of us lackers on were hanging out at the end of the day, and we happened to watch Building 7 go down. And nobody believed that was by fire. I mean, there were people screaming
right
on the screen, like, you got to be kidding me, because we knew that was not by fire. But in my book, my character is a little more, she's just more dazed. This character, she doesn't come out and say specifically what, you know, what we know and your audience knows. She's just moving along through this space. And the book is good because it allows the readers to kind of put the pieces together.
Well, that's good, because people do need to put the pieces together. Chapter 19 and 20, ladies and gentlemen, and you can go to rachelmcintosh.com or Amazon to get the book. But let me ask you, have you ever talked to Richard Gage, the architects and engineers leader?
No, I haven't. Oh, can I make a correction, though? My website is Rachel with an L, another L.
RachelLMcintosh.com. Rachel L. McIntosh, and McIntosh is spelled M-C-I-N-T-O-S-H, M-C-I-N-T-O-S-H. Well, I would really like for you to talk to Richard Gage about this hypothetical information. I would like to send you his email address and let you talk to him and tell him that I recommended you, because I think that you guys might have something to talk about here.
Hmm. Okay, that would be fine. That would be good. I would love that. And I would also like to mention that I'm very motivated to get this book out into people's hands. I'm realizing that people that have already made up their mind about certain things, about our world here in the United States, they're not open to thinking about some of these things. So that's why I wrote it as fiction, with a character that they could kind of get their heads around and feel like they know that person and say, what would I do in that situation? But also, I've push this book into the school system. So Rhode Island and Connecticut school system now has it, and they're summer reading lists for grades 11 and 12.
Now, that's amazing that you got it into a school system library. That's incredible.
Yes,
that is excellent.
Because it's not in any way confronting anybody's preconceived notions about America is.
It's written very, very well. Okay, we got to go to a break. We got to, unfortunately, a three-minute break. We'll be back with Rachel McIntosh, RachelLMcIntosh.com. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Identity theft is real. So real, it could be making you its next victim right now. At the gas pump, bank, or store where you shop with your credit card, bad guys with RFID scanners can peer into your wallet or purse from a short distance away, stealing information from your RFID-enabled credit or debit cards, passports, room keys, and ID cards without you even knowing it. Stop the bad guys now with an RFID-blocking wallet from ID Stronghold. ID Stronghold founded the entire RFID blocking industry over 10 years ago. Their stylish sleeves, clutch purses, and wallets are shielded throughout. The best you can buy at great pricing, as low as $14.99. Don't wait until your wallet needs replacing. Protect your identity now. Click IDStronghold.com or call 1-800-610-2770. That's 1-800-610-2770. ID Stronghold, the original RFID wallet company.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It's 33 minutes after the hour, and the Dow is down 18 points, if anybody cares. Silver is at 1475, and gold staying around 1090-something. I want to thank you all for supporting the Power Mall. That's how we stay on the air, is by you purchasing from the Power Mall. And I, again, want to say, if we would buy from the good guys and support each other, then we would have more people doing the right thing. Just like Michelle from Carriage Trade Soaps that we had on the last hour, we like to find the best products in areas that we can promote to you without any kind of excuse at all, because they are the best out there, and support these people in their businesses, just like she decided to run for Justice of the Peace in Benton County, Arkansas. She did, and she won, and she is the JP there. So let's support the people that are doing the right thing. And she is doing it because she wants to support the liberties of these people. So please call us at the Power Mall and order the soap, the Carriage Trade soaps. They are absolutely beautiful. Oh, my goodness. I just love having them next to me here. They smell so good. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. And I was just notified that the green stuff will be going out in the week of August 1st. So you got a little bit longer to wait, everybody. So please be patient. Green stuff the week of August 1st. And I want to thank Rod. Yeah, Power Hour Goldenrod for bringing us lunch yesterday. He made cabbage rolls from the Power Hour products, everything except for the cabbage, I think, and the tomato sauce. He made cabbage rolls with the veggie burgers that we have at the Power Mall that all you do is add water, non-GMO veggie burgers. Oh, they are awesome. And we had the best lunch yesterday. So thank you very much, Rod. PowerHourGold.com. You can find out more about carrot bars. Now is the time to buy them, and they're cheaper than ever. And getting into the business now is much cheaper because of the decrease in the price of gold. Well, this hour we're talking to Rachel L. McIntosh, website of the same name, and Rachel is R-A-C-H-A-E-L. Just go to the guest list today and click on her name. Little Yellow Stickies and Security Through Absurdity, which I absolutely love. And why the name, Rachel, Little Yellow Stickies?
I picked that because, like I had told you, I was a very young person that got hired as a temp at this place, and the CEO of this division communicated with Post-it notes because there was no tracking of Post-it notes.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And I didn't realize that, but there was Post-it notes flying all around this place for a long time. And I, what my job was when I got hired was to, everybody had a computer on their desk. But for whatever reason, they didn't forward emails to people. They would just print them out. And I would, my job was to take these printouts from everybody. I'd march around the office complex and photocopy them and then distribute the emails to who they had to go to and then log this all in. So everything was based on this Navy logging thing. But the CEO didn't have to do that. He communicated through Post-it notes.
That is, in this hypothetical situation that you bring in a fictional message in your book, correct?
It's yes, I'll say okay. It that way, yes.
Yes, and fascinating the way people do business, you know, hypothetically, in a situation where they don't want people to find out, don't want people to know what's going on. A lot of things take place. I mean, a lot of things that we wouldn't even imagine because we are held to a higher standard, which means we have to be honest and they don't. What else can you share? Now, you said that you're, that Jocelyn in the book is a little bit kind of befuddled about the idea of why would we have 3D plans in the building there for Building 7. And by the way, I am getting this information to Richard Gage as we speak, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. And what else do we know maybe about what those plans were used for? You said that in the book the building was wired. What do we know? What else do we know about this, Building 7?
Well, to be clear, in the book, that section got pulled out by the editors before it got published. And they said, don't do that because then all of a sudden you'll be thrown into conspiracy land. I said, okay. So I just, you will see what's going on. You'll get it. But I couldn't specifically say that one sentence.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the other stuff that was going on, too, that I found interesting was that the U.S. really did want to implant microchips in its citizens.
Okay, let's talk about microchips.
Yeah. After 9/11, like a slew of RFPs, requests for proposals, started to roll into the office, and they wanted to talk. They wanted to have something where they could track the first responders, and nobody in the office knew what the heck they were talking about at all. So I did a lot of. Part of my job was, a big part of my job was proposals and answering these RFPs from the government, as well as to get my, later on, when I was promoted, I was in charge of getting things on the news, and that's a whole nother story. But these requests for proposals started rolling in, and they wanted somehow to be able to track the first responders. And we were figuring it was just if they got squished by, being crushed by a building, and they wanted to find people, or if they got injured, they'd know immediately what their health situation was. Oh, they're diabetic or something. We were trying to figure that out. And I had to do a lot of research on it. I found out that Gillette Razors was the company that actually developed this technology of RFID because they were getting razors stolen from their plant up in Boston. So that technology became something that, for whatever reason, the U.S. government wanted to impose. And a lot, not a lot, but a good amount of first responders did get the RFID chip implanted in them.
Is that right? In this hypothetical situation. And I know that Dr. Catherine Albrecht, who's also on this network, had brought out the fact that Gillette was doing the first RFIDs in their products. But, of course, that was for an inventory situation.
Right.
They wanted to know how many were in the stores, blah, blah, blah. But that was kind of getting the camel's nose under the tent with RFIDs, which have now, of course, proliferated to the point where, you know, who knows what is going on with these RFIDs. But you're saying that the motivation was at that time to start out with first responders, to be able to find them, and in the event something happened. Is there a second or third category of people that they wanted to place the RFID chips in?
Not that I'm aware of, but I just remember that happening right after 9/11. It was literally like the next 2 weeks these started rolling in, and it was a lot of them, a lot of them. And we couldn't handle that. We didn't deal with that at all. So we didn't respond to those. Because we didn't know what that was going on.
You know, and a lot of, you know, the very fact that you all are asking these questions amongst yourselves, and there is no boss there to answer any questions for you. Oh, by the way, let me open up the phone lines. If you have a question for Rachel McIntosh and you would like to talk with her personally, 855-995-6923, 855-995-6923. If you have a question specifically in relation to the issues that we're talking about here, don't go off on some wild tangent, please. We want to keep it sort of toward what we're talking about here. I forgot where I was now. You were talking about
microchip.
Go ahead.
That was when it first rolled in. So later on in my life, when I started seeing people talking about this is the other reason why I wrote these books, too, is because I have been listening to people talk about some of these topics and be like, oh, I remember that. I remember that. And the reception that these people get is usually, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, and people shut them down. So I wanted to make a book that somebody who was knowledgeable or at least aware of some of these things could hand to their, say, their mother or their cousin or whoever, and they could start a conversation about these things, and it wouldn't be intimidating. That was one of my motivations for writing these books, so that people like your audience could pass it along, and like as a gift, and say, oh, yeah, remember that part in the book about microchips? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's like that thing you saw that I showed you in the newspaper. You know, I wanted it to be a conversation starter.
I see. And it certainly is. It certainly is. What kind of feedback have you gotten as a result of doing this book?
Oh, my gosh. Most people, I have to say, I've only gotten one poor review on Amazon, and I think that person is just like a troll person.
Yeah.
Everybody that reads this book gives it either five, most people give it a five star, and there's a few 4 stars on there. Right now, it's I think number 3 on Goodreads Best Debut Series of 2014.
It's
enjoyed temporary number 1 spots on Amazon in political fiction, contemporary literature, women's mystery thrillers and suspense, and a surprisingly teen young adult historical fiction, 21st century United States.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, it's very highly rated, ladies and gentlemen, the book on Amazon. The excellent reviews on Amazon. And again, it's called Little Yellow Stickies. Let's go to Steve in Ontario. Steve in Ontario, you're on the air. Go ahead, please, with our guest,
yes,
Rachel
how are you
McIntosh.
Doing this morning?
We're blessed. Go ahead, please.
As far as I just wanted to double check and make sure I heard this right. In this hypothetical situation here, it was Rachel's understanding or the character's understanding in
Jocelyn's, understanding,
that Building 7 was pre-wired because of the CIA being in there, and that in case of anything serious, the building could be taken down the same way as a jet fighter is blown up.
Yeah.
Did I hear you say that?
That's what I said. I don't know if it was the CIA. There's a lot of things in that building. The SEC is in there. There's literally tons of alphabet agencies tucked in there. And I didn't know that. I honestly, at the time, was just like, oh, okay, why not? It was a good answer, you know? I didn't know. But that's what was
I had heard
given
that
to
actually
me as
about
the answer for that.
Because I had also heard that about Building 1 and 2, that they were also pre-designed with explosives that they could be taken down in a proper manner in the event of a situation if one of the buildings got heavily damaged and was starting to lean, that the safety aspect of it was that they could bring it straight down. So
I don't know anything about that. Just like everyone else in the world, we were just looking at these planes just smashing into these buildings, and everybody was stunned. The one thing that really got to people was that the Pentagon got hit. And everybody, of course, I'm working for a defense contractor. They're like, no way. This looks impossible, right?
Yes.
So that's when everything just really got topsy-turvy for everybody in the room. And I think that's when that whole – they really did shatter everybody's – that was the moment when everybody basically got blown out. We couldn't think about it. You know, you just couldn't think about it. And that was the whole point of that whole –
exactly, shock and awe. One other real quick thing, and slightly off topic, but did you know of or had you ever met Joe Stack, the gentleman that crashed his plane into the IRS building in Texas? He worked for L3 Communications, apparently.
Oh, no, I didn't know that, but oh my gosh, yeah, that doesn't surprise me, considering the cameras that filmed the buildings being crashed into. Those cameras are L3 cameras, and they were in some sort of non-registered helicopter, and that was the footage that got broadcast immediately to everyone.
Interesting. Whoa.
Right.
The plot thickens. Hey, thank you, Steve.
Okay.
Good call. Good call, Steve. Let's move on to some other subjects that you address in the book. The Department of Homeland Security and the relationship with Sung Young Moon in the movies.
Yeah. Well, what happened there was I said I was in charge of getting stuff to the news, and let's back up. How I got involved with that is because there was a bioterror exercise called Dark Winter, and that was when I was first on board. It was right after the Oklahoma City bombing thing, and I had to get my congressman to this. He needed to be in there because all the movers and shakers were going to be there, and I couldn't get him in there. Turned out this Dark Winter exercise was for bioterror, and they wanted to speed up. What they did, it was a marketing exercise, and nobody knew it. It was a marketing exercise by this vaccine company, and they wanted to sell their smallpox vaccines. And they put on this computerized exercise of smallpox spreading all across the United States. And they had, 70 or 80 different dignitaries from different countries and different people in the United States and different congressmen. And our congressman, who was best friends with the owner of our company, he wanted to be there to promote this software that we were building, and that never happened. But our software, we kept getting declined because, long story short, what they were doing at this exercise is they had sped up the response time or sped up the spread of the disease, making the response time that anybody could do anything totally pointless. And it was hopeless in this exercise. So the outcome of this exercise was that President Bush bought a gazillion smallpox vaccines, which, smallpox at that point was you know, cured.
Nobody, right. We didn't even have any. No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nobody needed these things. Mm-hmm. But when I was trying to get that information, and I was trying to deal with getting our story out to the press that we were going to be involved with this dark winter exercise, and I couldn't get it out, and we weren't getting invited to it, I came to find out that this was with the Department of Homeland Security. And I thought that sounded really, really weird, Department of Homeland Security. It sounded like a ex-German thing, you know, from World War II. I was like, oh,
right.
Is this American? And they're like, yeah, it's American. I said, oh. So I started researching that. And it comes to find out, with Reverend Sun Myung Moon, he owned a bunch of different newspapers. He was also a very big proponent of the Republican Party here in the United States. And he led the charge for the term Department of Homeland Security. He made all of his reporters use that term when talking about the United States dealing with terrorist threats. And not that this would seem like a big deal, but by time 3 years later, by time the American public was asked, or based not asked, but was introduced to the idea of a Department of Homeland Security, everybody had read about it in the papers enough that they just said, oh, yeah, Department of Homeland Security, that's, yeah, it's cabinet position, okay, cool. So that's kind of what happened there.
Okay. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. If you'd like to talk to Rachel, if you have any inside information you'd like to share, the number is 855-995-6923. Final segment coming up on the Power Hour today. We'll be right back.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed the results I have with your product. I've suffered with thoughts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past few years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up a 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Welcome Welcome back to the Power Hour. Final segment today on the Power Hour. And tomorrow we're going to have an hour of open lines, and then we're going to have Jeff Warrick join us. We're going to be talking about programming the nation and the use of subliminal imaging, how they do what they do to get us to think they want us what they want us to think. So Jeff will be joining us tomorrow, Jeff Warrick. We're talking today to Rachel L. McIntosh by the website of that name. Little Yellow Stickies is the name of it, and that's because people in high places with that don't want to be tracked do business on Little Yellow Stickies. Let's go to, now we don't normally put people back on the air again that have already called in, but I'm going to go to Annette in West Virginia. You have a question for Rachel McIntosh, Annette?
Yes, if memory serves, the Gulf War veterans' medical records were housed in Building 7. Would you be able to verify that?
Oh, geez, I wouldn't know. No, I'm sorry.
No. That was in the Oklahoma City bombing where those records were supposed to have been stored, and I was never able to confirm that. So, no, we don't know where the Gulf War medical records were stored, but we know they're missing. So it could have been at any number of places.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Oh, there was... We talked about Homeland Security and the Moonies, and there was something else I wanted to cover. Oh, have we left Iraq? And who is in Iraq, and why are we in Iraq? I think I would like for you to deal with that if you don't mind.
Oh, to be honest, I am not the definitive person on this, but in my book, my character has a conversation with somebody who had returned back from Iraq. And...
Mm-hmm.
This guy, who's an ex-Navy SEAL, who's one of the mercenaries, I was in charge of marketing communications for a mercenary, one of the mercenary divisions. And so this mercenary comes back from Iraq, and one of the generals says, hey, take him out for dinner and figure out what's going on with the State Department there. So I took him out to dinner, and he starts telling me about, he was kind of disgruntled because the State Department had just swung in, and they had fancy shoes, and they weren't Pentagon guys. They were definitely corporate guys. They literally said, "Oh, we're Enron. They're basically people from Enron, and they were coming in, and they were going to change things. And they basically set up a whole slew of mandates for the new Iraqi people, the new Iraqi government. One of which was the use of Monsanto seeds." And this guy, when I was out to dinner with, he couldn't believe that he was over there fighting a war as a mercenary, mind you, so that people would use Monsanto seeds. He also talked about how the money, he was in charge of writing a, and this is in real life, this person, and this story's in the book too, he was in charge of writing a computer program that about how much money weighed. And he didn't know what this was all about. He thought it was just a test of his computer acumen. And really what it was is they were bringing in pallets of U.S. dollars to kind of move the money around. And so we're out to dinner. He's like, Rachel, if we're not there moving the money around and Iraq wants to start taking gold or any other currency for payments for their oil, the U.S. dollar is done.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, bringing this book together. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. And the book is Little Yellow Stickies. Thank you to Ms. McIntosh for joining us in the Power Hour today. We appreciate you, and keep telling it like it is, girl, okay?
Okay, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. And tomorrow, again, Jeff Warrick will be our guest on Subliminal Messaging. Have a blessed day, everybody. We love you at the Power Hour. It's all about the truth. We'll see you tomorrow.